third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Chicago Blackhawks have won the Stanley Cup. Lord Stanley, the Blackhawks organization, along with the greatest fans in all of hockey, welcome you back to your new home, Chicago.
Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man.
If you don't have goosebumps yet, you've got them now, that's for sure. The Blackhawks, you hear the call. John Weideman on Blackhawks Radio as we welcome you into the shoot-around with Sam Paniatovich and Barstool Big Cat. And we have had some fun the last couple of days.
We have had a lot of fun thanks to the Chicago Blackhawks, the only team that we can truly be proud of in Chicago these days. Dynasty. It's a dynasty. I don't care what anyone says. This is a dynasty. I know people will throw out that the Kings, what if the Kings won this year? Well, the Kings didn't make the playoffs. So the Blackhawks are a dynasty. It feels very, very good and a hell of a last 48 hours.
Monday night, I'm at the United Center, and it's 1-0 Chicago. But Tampa was pushing. They were coming hard.
I wasn't nervous for even a second.
Not saying I was nervous, but when Patrick Kane scored that goal to put the Hawks up 2-0, from the time the puck touched the twine to the cup being passed around the ice, I don't think anybody moved. Nobody went to the bathroom. Nobody went and got a hot dog. It was just pandemonium and just cheering. And it was almost like an emotional volcano. When the final horn sounds, then everything just spilled over.
It was incredible. I was watching a lot of people were posting down the countdown, you know, homemade videos or Vines or Instagrams. That if you watch the countdown and you're a Blackhawks fan, a sports fan, a hockey fan, I don't care what you are, and you don't get a little bit of chills, you don't have a pulse, because it was something special in front of the home crowd, like you said. Now, so did you go on the ice after?
Oh yeah.
So what was that scene like? First of all, it looked like there were about 10 million people on the ice.
Yeah, and actually the ice was pretty shoddy.
I'm sure.
This is, of course, after they didn't Zamboni the ice after the third period.
Right.
But I would say that, and let's remember now, when the cup's going around, it's just photographers. And then the media is like a bunch of caged animals in the hallway just waiting to get out there. And you've got, you know, Comcast has five people, NBC has three people, CBS has three people. They all have cameramen, multiple. And it's the Wild West. And then you get on that ice and it is ice. So,
what were you doing? Were you just taking quotes, or were you doing on camera stuff?
I had the microphone just for the radio station, and Brett Jackson was down there as well. And then John Weideman was in the booth. Troy Murray, Judd Surratt were on the ice doing live on the air interviews. And then we did the stuff that we'll use for the next 3 months.
Right.
But I mean, it was just players galore, and it was kind of like roulette. You just, you know, you get a couple minutes here, a couple minutes there.
Who was the best interview on ice?
Oh, geez. Tara Vinen has really come a long way with the media. He is so funny just to deal with. I'm 20-year-old and I have cup already. You know, like, the English isn't all there.
But yeah, he gets it. He knows what's going on.
And that comes from Ronta. Sharp is always good. And I think, you know, Jonathan Toews is probably the best interview on the team, just because he always just tells you what's up and he doesn't sugarcoat anything.
Now, did you go to the locker room after? Because that was... So basically what I did is I had to blog the whole night, so I didn't even leave my couch. I blogged all night, and then I said I'm going to bed at around 2 o'clock, and that's when Amanda Bickle had the Periscope up, and she was Periscoping the entire locker room, and I watched that till about 3. They were in there till about 5. How late were you there?
I left at 2:45. We left together, and this was after Scotch and a Cigar with Barry Rosner.
Nice.
In the radio booth, and he pulled out some Monte Cristos and was like, who's going to stop us?
You know, right.
There's no security.
Hell yeah.
But it was funny because, you know, everybody's wondering, well, is the cup going to Rocket, or is it going to Scout, or is it going here or there? When we walked out at 2:45, 40 limos?
Probably at least. They were lined up for 4 rows deep and all the way around.
But you're reading that the cup is here and the cup is there, and I'm like, that sucker hasn't left.
That's my favorite part of the cup. The misinformation is incredible. No one knows where the cup is unless they're with the cup.
which we'll get into in about 5 minutes or so.
But people, yeah, they go the minute the cup is won, it's like a flurry. The cup is at Q's house. The cup is here. The cup is at Pony. The cup has been at Pony 20 times already, and it hasn't been at Pony.
It hasn't
once.
Been there once, exactly. On Twitter, he's at Barstool Big Cat. I'm at SP Shoot. We'll do the mailbag later on in the show. Adam Hoge is our Bears insider for WGN. He'll hop on as well. Brett Jackson, Alan Poppy across the glass will join us as well. As we celebrate the Blackhawks, their third Stanley Cup championship in 6 years. And, so the Periscope, back to your question about the locker room, media wasn't allowed in there. All the media stuff happened on the ice.
Got it.
Then once you got your 60, 90 minutes in, you go right or you do your reps.
Right.
And then the players are able to get crazy. And I didn't see the Periscope, but I did see some videos. I saw them singing We Are the Champions.
Which I don't know if you saw, but I posted this. Bishop was getting asked questions at the same time that that was going on, and the walls obviously aren't that thick, so you could hear
they're back to back too. The dressing rooms are back to back.
So Bishop is getting asked questions about like how awful of a moment is this?
How's your groin?
Yeah, how's your groin? Do you want to kill yourself? And then you could hear in the background, "We are the champions." It's unbelievable. I actually felt bad for him in that moment. But it was, yeah, those videos, the We Are the Champions video was something special. This team is something special. It's a team that there's not one unlikable guy on the team, and they're just so money, and they're so good. They never waver. They've been down. They were down, you know, against Anaheim. They were down in this series, and they never, ever wavered. It's something incredible to watch.
And in 2010, these are young, single kids.
Yeah.
21, 22, 23. This year, of the core seven, the guys that have won three cups, only two of them don't have kids. That's 19 and 88. But it's surreal that we've seen this team literally grow up in our eyes.
Right. It was, yeah, the whole family, the babies in the cup. I agree. It was something else. And it, like you said, you have this – the first one was shocking. Because it was like, you know, the Blackhawks, they were a meteor when it came to, you know, 2008, 2009, 2010. You know, you saw it coming, but you didn't think that they were going to do it that quickly. 2013, even in 2013, because of the way that game ended, you were like, I can't believe they just won because they scored two goals in 17 seconds. This year, I feel like you could really soak it in a lot more. Because I was never nervous. I was never nervous on Monday night. It was
nails.
Incredible.
They are nails. You use that term all the time.
I've never watched a team. I mean, you know, MJ's Bulls, obviously, when you're like, all right, well, they're going to win no matter what because it's Michael Jordan. But other than that, it's just, you just knew that even if they were down, even if Tampa Bay scored the first goal, I still wasn't nervous.
Let's get into the meat of this show today because this is what everybody wants to talk about. And I'm actually out. We had our softball game last night, and I'm at an establishment, and I swear there are three people next to me, and I, you know, you can overhear conversations. Did you see Big Cat? And my ears just perk up, and I'm thinking like, uh-oh, what did he do now? You know?
Did he get arrested?
Yeah. Well, knowing what goes on in Boston, you never know with Barstool.
Right.
But they're like, no, he's on the field. And I'm like, I know he's at Wrigley. And then I pull the Twitter machine out on my phone and just bust it out in pure laughter. You are on the field. The cup is on the mound. The Blackhawks and Cubs are, you know, pillaged around the dirt. And then there's you in the back hanging out on live television. You're on the cover of, I think, the Tribune.
The only one who wasn't on the team. Well, it wasn't on either team. It was something else.
How does this happen?
So there's a few guys on the team that are fans of the site.
Probably more than a few.
Yeah, probably more than a few. So in 13 when they won, I was able to go out with them. I was able to take some pictures with the cup. It was a great time. So this year, same kind of deal. I get a text saying, you know, come on over. Let's, you know, take a couple pictures with the cup. And as they're leaving Patrick Sharp's house, they're like, all right, we're going to go to Wrigley, load up two buses. It's the team. And then, you know, everyone has like a couple friends and family. We get to Wrigley. We walk underneath the bowels of Wrigley, and we get to the right field fence that they have opened up for them to walk out. And at that moment, the friends and family kind of like step back, and the Blackhawks step forward and get onto the field. And I was standing there. It felt like a million years. It was probably only about 5 seconds. Standing on the foul line in foul territory, being like, I probably shouldn't go. I probably shouldn't go. This is their moment.
It's like the scene in Field of Dreams when Moonlight Graham walks up to the right, the little pebbles, and he knows if he crosses it, it's over.
Right. And that's exactly what I was like. This is – it's not the same story when I'm like, I almost was able to go on the field with the Chicago Blackhawks. So I was just like, all right, you know what? I'm doing it. I went on. It was the only other people that weren't players. There was a couple front office guys. Thankfully, they knew who I was. They're fans of the site as well, so that helped. They were like, you're okay, you're okay. And I was like, I don't know. And I think Tay's brother was on. But other than that, it was just me and the Blackhawks doing a loop around the warning track and outfield, carrying the cup, having people scream. Every now and then I'd hear, Big Cat, what are you doing? It's like, I don't know, man. So, and then we get to the mound, and the same thing happens where they're like, all right, everyone get around. We're going to take a picture. I was like.
And at that point, you're in.
Yeah,
right?
Well, I almost was like, I can't ruin this picture. Like, oh, no, I have to ruin this picture. I got to get in this. So hopped in. Perfect spot, too. Like, all the way in the back. You don't want to, you know what I mean? I'm not going to go and try to sit on the mound or behind the cup. But just enough, you know, you could see me, but I'm not taking over the picture by any means. And it was something else. And then we all put our hands in the middle, the Cubs and the Blackhawks and Big Cat, put our hands in the middle, did a go team, and that was it. It was Jason Mott congratulated me on winning the cup.
I saw that.
Yeah, I had to be like, hey, man, like someone had to blog all those blogs, and he was just like, what?
Who the hell is this guy?
So it was something else, and then it was party time for the rest of the night. It was crazy.
Yeah,
so.
And I texted you because, you know, I know that, you know, you're busy. You got things to do, and you're with your boys and stuff, but I was like, hey, big time, where you at? And, you know, you had said, I'll let you know what the deal is, and I was like, all right, cool. And it ended up at Rocket, which is where one of my roommates works the door.
So you were set.
That was a slam dunk. But the thing is, and everybody's like, well, why didn't you tell me? I'm sure you got it too. Why didn't you let me know? Well, first of all, it was like, you know, here's the cup. You got to go.
Oh, how it works on the bus is basically Taze gets to decide. And we basically go to a bar, and after about 15 minutes, you know, drink a couple drinks, take a couple pictures, maybe pop some champagne. After about 15 minutes, everyone starts mumbling, like, where are we going next? Where are we going next? And then he'll be like, all right, we're going here. And that's it. So that's the funniest part, is that everyone's like, oh, the cup tracker, it's going here, it's going here. You don't know until the captain tells you where it's going. And then I would, you know, tweet it out and try to screw with people. But that's how quickly it goes. So, yeah, people were texting me all night, like, hey, can you give me a heads up? I was like, I'm along for the ride and trying to make it into every door without a bouncer saying, hey, you don't belong.
Since you brought up the bus, we've seen the vines that you put up. You were doing the cup tracking vines, and this was one of your secondary vines. It was my favorite. It wasn't about where the cup was going, but you tried to steal some thunder from Madeline Sharp. Sitting on Patrick Sharp's lap.
We actually, the conversation went, the original vine is Madeline Sharp in Patrick Sharp's arms after they won, and she wanted to say three for three Stanley Cups. And I said, I think it was actually Sharp's idea to remake it. And I was like, I don't think you can hold me, man. Like, I don't want to hurt you. Like, could you imagine because obviously this team's going to change. Things are going to change with this team. And one of the names that has been tossed around is Patrick Sharp because of his contract. Could you imagine if I broke his back? And like that became the offseason, you know.
That'd
Patrick
be bad.
Sharp picking up a fat blogger. So I actually kneeled on a stool, and we remade the video. It was pretty funny. And that's, you know, that's a moment that's all this stuff. I know how lucky I am. I know how ridiculous last night was. I said it before. I basically was Kramer at the Tonys when he gets up, when he's a seat filler, and he just gets whisked up. And I'm still expecting, you know, Bowman to basically be like, hey, Big Cat, like, part of the deal of partying with the cup is you got to tell these guys that they get traded, you know, like Kramer did with Raquel Welch. So I'm still waiting for that to happen, get a call in the office next week. But yeah, quite a night, quite a moment. Coolest trophy in sports.
I wouldn't trade my Monday and Tuesday this week for almost anything. On the ice on Monday at the United Center to cover a championship in Chicago, the first one that was won here since 1997 when MJ knocked off the Jazz. And it hasn't really sunk in yet.
No.
Does that make sense?
It's like, one of those ones that if it's like 13, I remember. Because like I said, again, 10 was just a – you just didn't even – it was just all new and fresh, and we were all rookies when it came to this. 13, I think it took till after the parade. I think it'll be like that this year. I think Sunday night you'll be sitting probably with some anxiety because you spent, you know, the last few days in the bar. But you'll look back and be like, man, that was a week. That was a hell of a week. Wouldn't trade it for anything.
How many times did you touch the cup?
This is going to sound big time, but I mean, as many as I wanted. I think I took a picture, a selfie with me, like sleeping on the cup.
See, this is different because you were invited, but I personally, it bothers me that people get to touch the cup.
Why?
Because I was thinking about this the other night and I had a lot of people say, hey, did you touch a cup? And I said, no, I didn't do anything to earn to touch the cup, especially when you watch a guy like Kimmo Tiiminen, who literally is crying when he gets to touch the cup, and there are guys that work their entire life to touch it, and then there's all these people who just, oh, I get to touch the cup.
Well,
I get to touch the cup.
So the rule is you can't lift the cup. That's the rule. You can't lift the cup unless you've won the cup. I in 13, I lifted the cup with Sharp, so he was kind of lifting it, and I like had my hand kind of on the side. But that's the rule. I think touching the cup is fine. You can't go around I can't go around carrying the cup or putting it over my head. So that's touching the cup. You got to touch the cup.
But I meant like for you, it's different because you were invited. But for like just people who get to just run up and like the guy who watched the last half of the third period in game 6
right.
is out there following the cup around trying to touch it like it's some huge deal to him.
At Rocket, I'm in line at Rocket, and that was just – I mean, you were spraying champagne out the window, so you saw the –
I was spraying champagne on people.
I got there literally. I parked down the street, and because he said it's going to Rocket, and they're like 15 minutes out. So I knew that I had to like, you know, drive 100 miles an hour just to weave throughout the city, and there's sirens everywhere, and there's tow trucks, and there's construction here. And I get there, and right when I see my buddy at the door, I look up, and this mustache goon is spraying champagne all over these people. And I'm like, it's Taves, then Billy Deck, then Big Cat.
But that's the thing. You can't – someone handed me a champagne bottle. So there's nothing – the rule when you go out with the cup, I never – try
never say
to,
no
well no yeah I never say no, but I also never try to, like, I'm not trying to steal any limelight, I'm not trying to jump in front of the cup, I'm not trying to do anything that will make people be like, whoa, who the hell is this guy? But like you said, if someone comes up to you and says, hey, here's a champagne bottle, we're about to spray champagne, you can't say no. So I said, yeah, okay, and then started spraying champagne on people. I mean, it was — that's — my boss was joking about that today. Like, you go to Rocket and you're like, all right, well, I'm getting champagne. I'm getting wet with champagne. I smell gross and I'm all sticky, but at least it was Jonathan Toews spraying champagne on me. No, it was just this fat guy in the corner of the window.
And it was weird for me, too, because I've been covering this team for 3 years now. And these guys usually see me, you know, I've got like, you know, a sport
right.
coat on and glasses, and I'm holding the microphone in their face. So we're talking after practice. And there were a couple times, like, Michael Roosevelt came up to me, and he had – you see Roosevelt's
yeah.
big crutch?
Yeah.
He was trying to limp around Rocket. It was so crammed. And he was like, what are you doing here?
Right.
And I was like, I got invited. But some of the guys gave me, like the double take when you walk past something.
That's
and
funny.
Then you kind of look back.
I didn't even think about
it
that.
It wasn't like, you know, why is he here? It was just like, I know you.
Right,
I've
from
seen
somewhere.
You. I've
right.
seen you somewhere.
Right.
And but no, you're right about, you know, I walked in there, and they pulled the rope back, and there were people walking around with beer bottles, just passing them out. And then there was this married woman. Did I tell you this story?
No.
This woman had a rock the size of the Sears Tower on her finger. Obviously, either engaged or married. I'm going to guess married, given the size of the ring. She's, like, feeding me champagne. I'm like, is your husband here? Like,
no way.
What are you doing?
No chance.
But people are, like, they're just... I can't even describe it.
It was chaos. The best moment that I had, or the funniest thing that looking back on, I was sitting on the bus across from Duncan Keith, And I said to Duncan, I was like, hey, man, I know like everyone says how awesome you are with playing 30-plus minutes a game, but have you ever tried to write a blog for like 10 hours and sit in a desk chair? It will absolutely kill your lower back. Never has a joke landed so poorly. He just looked at me, didn't say a word, and I just kind of like slinked away. I was like, all right, okay, I guess not. Maybe I'm not. That was one of those moments where it's like, okay, now you're overstaying. You're welcome here.
A little
like,
bit too shut far. Your mouth.
Yeah, you can't be busting balls of the Conn Smythe winner right after he wins a Stanley Cup.
That's bold. I mean, but you were full of bold moves last night. And then the Cup had to go to bed, right? The Cup left, but the party, because I felt like most of the stops up until Rocket, and I wasn't there, you were there, they were really small as far as like the time frame, right? It was like you said 15, 30, maybe 40 minutes, but the team was at Rocket until 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And that was from what, 10 to 4?
If you noticed, the Rocket crowd kind of petered out as soon as the Cup left. So the Cup really is the guests of honor, and it's really the reason why a lot of people are out there. But yeah, people don't realize the Cup has a curfew. So the guy, the keeper of the Cup, who's got the crazy hair, who comes out with the Cup, he's there all night, and then at midnight he takes the Cup home. So knowing that the old saying, nothing good ever happens after midnight, which is probably true. I saw the Cup. Versteeg had it a couple times on the window, like just thinking, man, if this Cup falls out of the
Rocket window.
It
lands on somebody, right? Because it wasn't like
someone dense. Like, I'm surprised that it actually is still intact the way it is.
I forget the story. Was it Chelios with the Red Wings? They were on like this patio of an apartment complex or a hotel or whatever, and somebody had this genius idea. Hey, let's throw it in the pool! And they went to throw it, and it didn't make it into the water, and it just crashed.
I believe it. If you look at it up close, it's got some nice dings in it.
And they buffer out the dents and everything. But yeah, somebody tried to throw it in a pool, and you know, when you're drunk, you think you can do things that you shouldn't do or you can't do. And the pool, I think the pool was like 20 feet away.
That's awesome.
So it just kind of doof, 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 and then splash. We do have audio from Mike Milbury. I wanted to see your reaction to this because this is after the Blackhawks had won on Monday night, and this is the postgame show, and the injuries come out. And we'll hear a little more as, you know, the days go on. But this is Mike Milbury reacting to the injured Tampa Bay Lightning.
Listen, long suspected at this point, but clearly it was an impact. Certainly faceoffs. And at this point, if you're Tyler Johnson, you have the speed, but when you're going into those tough areas, how much is that on your mind?
It's late, Liam, and I'm grumpy, and I really don't care about that. They've lost their guys to injury. I still don't know the extent of it. I don't want to hear about it as an excuse just after the series is over. Lick your wounds, go home, and tell me in a week.
I love it. It's playoff hockey. This is why I also get, you know, this is what I hammer LeBron for, because he always reminds you of his injuries constantly. This is exactly, I mean, it's playoff hockey. Everyone's injured. Oduya, I'm sure, has something wrong with his arm or wrist.
Yeah, he was laboring last night a little bit with the chicken wing.
Right. All these guys, Jarmelson was walking around like a duck last night. He was not walking normally. So all these guys have something. What are you going to do?
Which paper, Alan, was it? Was it Korea that put on that the Chicago Bears won the Stanley Cup? Was it Korea?
Yeah, it was the Korean Times. They had the front page headline read, Chicago Bears win Stanley Cup.
I can't criticize them because I write headlines. I probably write 12 headlines a day, and I'm usually like maybe 1 for 12 when it comes, if you're looking for grammar, spelling, you know, using the right pronouns, everything.
Tense, so, the right tense. Yeah. Where does the apostrophe go?
Right. So I'm not gonna get on Korean Times there. That was close enough. We all knew what they were saying.
One of the funny parts was the headline read, Chicago Bears, been the lead of the article says the Chicago Blackhawks in like the very first sentence. So obviously they knew it was the Blackhawks. I don't know if it was supposed to be a joke or what, or someone just really messed up that bad.
Somebody should have got fired for that, and somebody should be fired at Wrigley Field.
Why?
Because you made it out to the somebody needs to lose their job.
The funniest part was I had my I have season tickets in the bleachers. So I was seeing all my regular guys, like the regular security guards, the regular beer guys, and they were just like, they did a double. They're like, what the hell are you doing here? So, you know, I have a couple of ins with the security guys. I don't know if they'd actually have my back. They've told me they do. But I think I'll be okay.
We'll get into a little bit of the basketball. We'll bring in Adam Hogue, and then we might have to do an extended mailbag here because some of these questions are pretty good. He's Barstool Big Cat. I'm Sam Paniatovich. You're plugged in to the Shootaround on WGN and WGN+. Second half Shootaround podcast, WGN Radio, WGN+, as we continue the celebration here as the Blackhawks have won their third Stanley Cup in 6 years. And if you've missed anything from the first half hour, make sure you rewind and hit play again, because I think that's something that we can relive for a long, long time. Sam Paniatovich, Barstool Big Cat, and Adam Hogue from WGN, our Bears insider, is in the house. You guys just met, although I feel like you know each other somehow.
Yeah, we've kind of been friends on the interwebs, I think you could say, but never in person.
We traded direct messages and text messages in Indianapolis for the Final Four. If it had gone differently that Monday night, I'm sure we would have shared a beer in Indianapolis, but probably. It did not, and I went and I hid under my bed and cried and woke up and came back to Chicago.
So Bears minicamp started this week. I don't want to talk about Wisconsin still, more than
that's
I have
it.
We're still sad about it.
I just said it perfectly.
Yeah, it happened in April. Get over it. Bears minicamp starts, and there's a lot of headlines here. The riffraff in the locker room was a big story last year, and you documented this all over the place. But one of those guys that I think is a wild card is Martellus Bennett, their tight end. And there's an interesting situation here with the Orange Dino.
Well, and it's interesting that you put it that way, Sam, because he's sort of the last, I don't know, can I call him a character or
absolutely
last volatile personality? And I don't want to paint him out in a negative way, because actually, outside of the incident in training camp last year where he slammed Kyle Fuller to the ground and then actually got suspended indefinitely and fined, which, by the way, was pretty much the only time in the Mark Trestman era where they showed any accountability and actually put some discipline. And the weird thing about that was it worked. Martellus was pretty – despite everything that happened last year, and as crazy as that locker room was, Martellus was pretty stand-up all year long. He wasn't much in the news. He all he did was produce. He went to the Pro Bowl. And so now he's looking to be rewarded. Money, he wants more money. And, you know, from his standpoint, I can understand where he's coming from. In the NFL, it's not really fair to the players a whole lot. You have these contracts that can be ripped up in a second if they want to cut you, and all they got to do is pay the guaranteed money. But when it's the other way around and you're a player and you outperform your contract, well, it's not easy to get a raise. And I think in this situation, he's looking at it and knows that they have the cap space if they wanted to do it. But it's a new regime. And Ryan Pace, the new general manager, and John Fox, new head coach, have made it pretty clear they're not handing out extensions. They're not giving one to Matt Forte. They're not giving one to Alshon Jeffrey, who's entering the last year of his rookie deal. They want to see these guys perform in person under this regime. And until that happens, I don't think Martellus is going to get any kind of raise.
You're the insider. I you know, obviously watch from afar, but I've heard rumors, especially in the spring, that the Bears tried to shop him. Did they shop him or try to shop him and they weren't able to get anyone to take him?
I think so. I think that they at least made some phone calls, got some feelers, and you know, you never know how legit that is, because it could always be sort of like a threat to him. Hey, if you don't start showing up, you know, we'll trade you. But you know, maybe the closest thing we got to a confirmation to that was Brandon Marshall mentioning publicly that Martellus could be traded, that there were some things going on. Of course, it came from Brandon Marshall, so you don't always know if it's true. But, yeah, I think that they definitely have been looking at the situation and saying, you know, is this a guy we want in our locker room? Because they got rid of Brandon pretty quick. And I think it's pretty clear that John Fox isn't going to put up with this nonsense that Mark Trestman did.
Now that you're able to take a step back and kind of look at last season, I mean, you got to cover one of the worst seasons on the field, but one of the most entertaining ones off the field. I mean, has that really sunk in, just the season that you were able to cover?
It's funny because it's more entertaining to me now than it was then. I mean, going there every day to Al's Hall last season was just ridiculous. I mean, you left there in the evening, and you'd say, well, there's no way they can top what happened today. And then you wake up in the morning, and you're like, man, I better get there on time today because Lord knows what's going to happen. And then something crazier would happen somehow.
Is it a noticeable difference around the building with John Fox and Ryan Pace? I mean, how was it I guess what's the biggest difference? You see John Fox often. Can you tell that just the vibe is different? Because what we saw, at least from the outside, was that was the most toxic building in the NFL last year.
Oh, it's got to be one of the most toxic situations that there could be even in sports. I mean, the way how out of control that got last season, it is different. And I could even point to some small things that just show how much more professional things seem to be this year. Right at minicamp, for instance, this week, there are play clocks readily visible to the offense that they're hanging on the goalposts. Like, there were no play clocks last year. Like, John Fox is saying, all right, this is what we need. Go get it. Last year, they introduced music during parts of practices, and it was blaring over, like, what was basically a megaphone. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, they were blasting music through a big megaphone, not just one you hold in your hand, but something that would sit there on a stand on the sideline. This year, there's, like, a DJ. I'm not kidding. There's speakers all lined up one of the end zones.
That's awesome.
And there's someone who's in charge of. There's actually two guys under a tent that are like mixing up what's being played during practice. I know that sounds silly and that has nothing to do with football, but it's just like these little things that if you're gonna do them, do it right. And that just wasn't the case last year.
He basically cleaned up the bar. You put a couple TVs and a nice sound system in it. I like it.
Yeah, it's not the crappy bar that still has standard def TVs.
You can take your girlfriend or your wife to this bar now.
Right. They put in four flat screens that you could you could pick which one you want to view from your seat. You could see like three of them at once.
Our Bears insider Adam Hoge with us here on the Shoot Around WGN and WGN Plus. Lots has been made about Kyle Long. Will he be on opening day, the first game of the year, at A, left tackle, B, right tackle, C, linebacker, or D, none of the above?
Not linebacker. I can tell you that.
Okay,
but,
good.
But, you know, this is a tough one for me because I see it both ways. One, I actually do believe them right now that they're experimenting because Jermon Bushrod and Jordan Mills are both out. But, you know, Jordan Mills was really not good last year. And he wasn't that great even his rookie year. I think he got away with some things because Jermon Bushrod was a lot better. The entire line was healthier and better 2 years ago. So when you have four guys playing well, you can get away with an average right tackle. When the rest of the line is playing poorly, then all of a sudden they all are magnified a little bit. And I think that's what happened a little bit with Jordan Mills last year. So the question is, how are these guys looking at it? Because here's one way. Kyle Long, in this division, you go up a lot against a lot of good defensive tackles. Now, when Ndamukong Suh left the division, that'll help. But look at the games Ndamukong Suh played against the Bears. I mean, Kyle Long did a pretty good job against them one-on-one.
He actually said he was – I asked him if he was upset – if he was happy that he left the division, and Kyle said no way because he made me look good because I was able to play him well every year.
I mean, you look at when you're considering Pro Bowl situations and you go, well, look at – I mean, that guy shut down Ndamukong Suh twice in a season. That's pretty impressive. So do you – I know it's easy to say tackle's more valuable than guard, but – you got to look at a more minimalistic view and say, well, these are one-on-one matchups that you're going to face during the season, and Kyle Long's done a pretty good job with those. And so I think if I had to say today, and it's still June, my gut's telling me he'll still be at right guard, and they're just experimenting right now. However, if Jordan Mills continues to be a problem, and they really like Vladimir Dukas, who they brought in, well, Dukas would play guard, and then you can play Kyle Long at right tackle, and maybe that makes the line better overall.
We heard today breaking news from when I sat down. I don't know when it actually happened, but Kevin White had a little injury. Is that something that we need to start looking at, or is that just a fluky thing?
Yeah, we don't really know. It didn't happen during minicamp. My guess is it happened last week during the last practice of OTAs, which was not open in the media, so we weren't able to watch it. Because he was out there last Wednesday at OTAs, and then yesterday when we got there for minicamp, he was nowhere to be seen. He wasn't even on the field. You know, we thought he might not even be there, and this is a mandatory camp. You have to be there, you get fined. Well, John Fox didn't say much about it, but he did mention talking to the medical people, so that says, all right, he's got some kind of injury. but it's hard to know how severe it is because we can't even see him. And I don't think he's going to be on the field tomorrow, so this might be a thing where we don't really know for a month.
When you look at this roster and you sort of look ahead to the season, who are some guys that might bubble up and explode as far as coming onto the scene? Maybe somebody you didn't expect that maybe in October or November we're thinking, wow, this guy is really impressive.
Yeah, I have two guys right now that have stood out through the offseason program, and keep in mind that there's no pads. It's hard to tell some of these things. John Fox called it underwear football today. So when you're not wearing pads, you refer to it as underwear football.
I like that.
But look, David Bass looks really good moving from defensive end to outside linebacker. He's been getting a ton of looks because Lamar Houston and Willie Young are both still recovering from their injuries from last year. And he just looks natural moving from defensive end to outside linebacker. I talked to him today, actually, and he said he's never played in a 3-4 his whole life. So this is all pretty new to him. But he said he likes it a lot. He likes how it you know, allows him to move around, do some different things. So that's just one name to keep an eye on as someone who, you know, he's flashed a little bit his first two seasons. He's a former 7th-round pick that actually got cut by the Raiders. So, you know, the expectations are not too high. The Bears picked him off of waivers from the Raiders when they let him go. But he's stuck on the roster the last 2 years, so he's obviously done some good things. And I think this coaching staff likes him, and this position switch and the scheme change could help him. The other guy is Marquise Wilson, the wide receiver. And I know fans are probably tired of hearing about him. It's been 2 years, but he was not ready his first season. He had no muscle on his body. He had quit football at Washington State. He had so much catching up to do. And then last year, he looked like he was going to contribute, and he goes down with a collarbone injury in training camp. When he came back in week 11 last season, that was when everything had gone downhill. People weren't running the right routes. No one was blocking. It was a mess. The offense was a mess.
He was the savior. I remember that. Oh, yeah. Marquise Wilson's
right,
here.
I think I picked him up in fantasy football.
But I did too, by the way. He actually had 7 catches, though, in the Jimmy Clausen game.
That's right.
So and this coaching staff likes him. Jay Cutler yesterday was talking about how he seems to be back to where he was in training camp a year ago. So those are just two guys that, hey, don't be surprised if they actually do take a step forward in year 3 of their career.
So to put a little bow on the whole thing, I'm demented in the head. So I was walking around the other day I was walking my dog, and I was actually like thinking, I wonder what the Bears are going to do this year. And I went through the schedule game by game. I see 7 wins.
Yeah.
And that's probably being generous. What would be your guess if you had to, you know, life on the line, if you had to put a number on it?
I've been saying 7 at a minimum because, you know, some of the things we were talking about earlier with just how big of a mess that was last year. Yeah, they still won 5 games. I mean, there's still some talent on this team. And I got to think that John Fox and his new coaching staff with, you know, legit NFL coaches here now, that's got to be worth at least 2 wins, right?
Right.
That's why I think they're at least a 7-9 team, maybe 8-8. But I still look at this defense and I go, where are they going to be dominating people? And even if they, you know, get to middle of the pack in the NFL, well, let's not forget that the offense was horrible last year too. I don't know. I just see 2 average units on both sides. And to me, that says 8-8.
Well, I'm ready for some exciting weekend football because our White Sox are not doing it for me.
Ugh.
You see, Cat's got
his
Cubs gear on, full-fledged.
I'm ready for football, too, because I actually just retired from gambling as of 2 days ago, and I'm not going to come out of retirement until football. So,
Well, that's good. Don't worry. Right before I came in with you guys, I saw that Rick Hahn said that he's got some changes in mind, but he doesn't have a timetable yet. No hurry. You know, it's only the middle of June.
You got all year.
So, you know, maybe August you can make some changes. I don't know. Maybe it's ridiculous.
You could follow Adam Hoge's Bears blog, WGNplus.com, The Notebook, all sorts of stuff, video, podcast. You can hear him on the beat on the weekends here from 3 to 6 on 720 WGN. We should probably do this again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
So from football to basketball, we move here on the Shoot Around, WGN and WGN Plus, as the Golden State Warriors ended their 40-year wait for a championship. The last one, you had to go back to 1975 and underhand free throw shooting Rick Barry for the last title to the Warriors. I think America's team was the Warriors, and they deal LeBron James another crushing finals loss. And it's just I do appreciate LeBron as a player, and we've gone back and forth on this about just respecting what he does. I mean, he averaged 35 points, was it 12 rebounds, 8 assists. That's just absurd. On the other side of the argument, though, he is such an ass when he loses. He's mopey. Such a baby.
He's a mopey little LeBron. I'm actually pissed I missed this. I wish it was a different night. LeBron now 2-4. I'm a LeBron hater, self-admitted. I know he had no one this year. I know he had no one his first year with the Cavs when they got swept by the Spurs. But 2-4 in the finals, I saw someone mention it, that Bird, Magic, and Michael all combined don't have 4 losses in the finals.
Magic lost 4 times. I think Magic was 5-4. Does that sound right?
Oh, so maybe I was wrong.
I thought Magic had been there like 9 times and lost 4.
I was
4.
Way wrong then. Yeah, because he must have lost to the Celtics and then the Bulls. And yeah.
Yeah,
so
but there were
way.
3 players. It was Michael, Bird, and maybe like Shaq.
Either way, 2-4 in the finals. I'm not saying he's not clutch. I'm not saying he's not the best player in the world. But you can't discredit that when you're talking about the best of all time.
And Jerry West was he won 1 final, and he lost a bunch too. Here's LeBron after the game. This is his – I mean, maybe we add it to the excuse tree. Maybe not. Let's hear what LeBron had to say after the loss.
I mean, obviously I knew it was going to be a tough task, and I continue to tell you guys we were undermanned. I don't know any other team – I've been watching basketball for a long time. I'm a historian of the game. I don't know any other team that's got to the finals without 2 all-stars.
That's just stuff. We know LeBron.
We understand. We watched.
About it. And you were about to win the MVP of the finals up until last night. So we know.
We understand. We've been watching. I've watched Klang jump shots from J.R. Smith and Matthew Dellavedova for 6 games.
Has there ever been a finals where the winning team gets maybe 20% of the publicity and the articles written about them? Because that's what it was. This was LeBron's finals. Oh, and a side note, the Warriors won the championship.
I actually thought this season was kind of weak as a whole. Basketball season, the East was just god-awful.
It was just weird because rarely do you have 2 teams come out of nowhere and win each conference, you know, the Hawks and the Warriors in the regular season. And then, yeah, the entire playoffs just weren't that great.
It just didn't have star power, and a lot of that is because a lot of the guys were hurt.
Right. The best playoff, the best series was probably the Clippers-Spurs, and that happened in the first round. So that really tells you everything. When the best series is in the first round, that's a problem. You needed this to go to 7 for it to be a classic. People were saying it was going to be a classic after the first 3 games when they were all really tight, 2 overtimes to start it. But, yeah, at the end of the day, I'm not going to say LeBron isn't the best in the world, but 2-4. I will repeat that forever. The question I have for you is, do you think he'll ever win one in Cleveland?
I don't think so.
Really?
I don't think
They're going to be loaded next year if Kevin Love and Kyrie come back.
They're the favorites, but I just don't know. I don't know because when he won his rings in Miami, he was playing with essentially 3 other Hall of Famers. With Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and a surefire Hall of Famer in Ray Allen, who saved his lunch with that 3 in the corner.
That was incredibly close as well.
I mean, getting them to the finals, you can't say enough about the effort there. And some of those performances were just unbelievable. The one when he had, I think it was like 40 points and 16 boards and 11 assists or something. I mean, I watch sports for great performances, and that was certainly one of them. But at the end of the day, like you said, couldn't cut down the nets.
2-4.
Two and four.
We'll see, because there is never really – I don't know. I mean, Kobe would be a good example. But outside of Kobe, I can't name many other guys who have played the miles that LeBron has played at age 30. Because he came out at 18. He has played in the Olympics. He has played deep runs every single season. He's never been injured for a significant amount of time, so he's never missed the full season.
Never the big injuries, at least. He's always injured.
Yeah, he's always injured. Always injured. But he's never, you know, missed the whole season because of an injury. So he has so many game miles on him. We'll see. Because once it goes, it goes. We saw with Kobe the last couple of years. Once it's over, it's over. You can't really get it back.
Let's close up shop here on the shoot around with our favorite part of the show, at least sometimes when you get the Stoolies tweeting these questions out. We'll start with this one from Angelo DeLuca. If you could pick one guy from this year's Hawks team that you'd want on your side in a brawl, who would it be? You're in a fight, Sharks and Jets, and you get to pick one Blackhawk.
I think it'd have to be Duncan Keith. He is such a – I mean, the way he looked at me when I threw that joke at him, I thought I was going to cry. But, you know, if you're talking about stamina and you want a guy who, like, who won't quit, Duncan Keith's got to be the guy.
I'd probably go with Bickle, and I want the vertigo Bickle. That's a little out of control.
A little woozy.
Well, today he told the press, and we saw Bickle last night, and you shouldn't drink when you're on vertigo, you know?
Right.
So he was kind of like a little out there, but, I mean, that's a big bruising. Dude, I think I'd probably pick Bickle.
I think I might take Jalmerson because you know he can take a beating and get back up.
That's true. Although, if you, I mean, you guys obviously have all seen him. For people who are listening who have never seen Jalmerson, you know, in the real world, he looks like he should be a junior analyst at, like, Accenture. He's a small guy.
Yeah, he's not very big, that's for sure. This is from Austin Keeney. Is LeBron James the Kim Kardashian of the NBA?
I'm trying to think exactly how that analogy works. He did show us his penis this year, so that the sex tape analogy kind of works there. No, I don't know what this guy's talking about. No offense to him, but I don't really understand it because LeBron still has won a lot. He's won a lot of basketball games. He's won two titles. There's a reason why he's famous. Kim Kardashian, on the other hand, there's really no reason for her to be famous.
I don't really understand the analogy either. So
it's a good try. We're all a little hungover from the Blackhawks.
I'll just move on. Yeah, me too. This is from David Embers. Kat, when was the last time you went to the doctor?
Oh, actually, one of my favorite blogs of all time was a couple of years ago. I went to the doctor and I live tweeted it. And I wrote a whole blog about it after, basically explaining what happens when you go to the doctor for the first time in a decade. But I must have been 28 when I did it. I'm 30 now. He told me, you're healthy and you don't have to come back. It's been a long 2 years since then, so I don't know if that still stands. But the last words out of the doctor's mouth were, you're totally fine. You don't have to come every year.
Kat, after last night, where would you rank yourself among these champagne sprayers? We saw Hossa had one out there. Taves had a pretty good one. Where would you put yourself? Middle of the pack? Bottom? Top half?
Bottom. I was brutal. I had like two good sprays.
It like spittled.
Yeah,
it
and then
even...
it just – I handed the champagne bottle, like I literally handed it back to the person who gave it to me, almost completely full because I was just so embarrassed with myself. So that's something – knowing that the Blackhawks will most likely win another cup, I need to practice. I don't know how you pray. I guess I'll just buy a champagne bottle and like stand in my alley and just spray it.
Look at this mustache guy spraying champagne.
To nowhere.
What a weirdo. At Shill Factor, the only question that matters, did you guys drink from the cup? Yes, I did.
I did not.
Really?
I did in 13. So not to sound like a big time tough guy, but you know, been there, done that, act like you've been there kind of thing.
Christopher Elward, who was the most fun Blackhawk to be around last night? My favorite guys are the Czechs.
The Czechs are fun.
Marian Hossa, dude, and his brother Marcel. And did you see the chick with the shirt that said...
But Hossa's brother looks exactly like him.
Yeah, well, the shirt said, B-I-T-C-H-E-S, love Hossa. And she was in the middle, and the Hossa brothers were one on each arm. Roosevelt is a blast. I think Vermette is a lot of fun, too.
Vermette was funny.
They were all at that back table there.
I laughed so hard. We were on the bus. I can't remember going from which bus to or which bar to which bar. Chemo was started to talk about how old he was, and it was he had the whole bus in tears because he was making fun of himself how old he is, and he's got a son who's like 17. So he was really 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 fun and really really nice.
This is from Zona Cats, and we'll get one more in after this. Would the Cubs winning it all make up for the next 5 years of the Jay Cutler era? If the Cubs win it this year, does that make up for the Jay Cutler era?
Well, are we saying that Cutler's here for 5 years?
This is let's just play hypothetical.
So you have to keep him for 5 years.
This is just hypothetical.
Yeah, I mean, I've said this before. People have asked. I think the Cubs winning the World Series for the first time in over 100 years makes up for everything. Anything you could put it up against anything, and you would pick the Cubs. Because, you know, people always ask that. They're like, what's more important, a Bears Super Bowl or a Cubs World Series? Well, it's a Bears town, and it always will be a Bears town. But you got to get that first Cubs one. And that's the one that's going to be – I mean, the city's going to just go insane.
I'm not looking forward to this, though, this next couple. You know, because you got the Bulls and the Hawks, and it's just like now it's baseball. And I like baseball.
Oh, I love baseball.
Well, you're a season ticket holder.
No
it's
big
different.
Deal.
It's different. Yeah, no big deal. Last question in the mailbag, and this is the one that everybody clings to, the D-word, the dynasty. This is from Peter Mayer. No disrespect to the Hawks. What they did is awesome. But if the LA Kings win next year, are they a dynasty?
I said this, and I mentioned this. The LA Kings didn't make the playoffs this year. Part of being a dynasty is not only winning the Stanley Cup or winning the championship, but it's being in the hunt every single year, no matter what.
In the tournament
and deep into the tournament. And if you look, the Blackhawks last year, they were a puck, you know, bounce away from being in the Stanley Cup. The year before they won their first cup in 2010, they were in the conference finals against the Red Wings. So that's 7 years, three cups, five Western Conference finals. And it's the same. People keep saying, well, you can't just change the name, like how a dynasty works. The Oilers were in the 80s, like the Blackhawks or anything like it. The salary cap matters. Of course, if the Blackhawks could keep this team together, if they could have kept the 2010 team together and all these teams together, you don't think that they would have won four or five cups?
How about a baseball rule where there's no cap?
Yeah.
That'd be fantastic.
Well, it would have been tough at the beginning because Rocky still says that they're not making money, which I don't believe.
Yeah, that's hard to believe. I still think it takes consecutive championships to be a dynasty. And you can.
So you're saying you got to win two in a row.
Yeah, so if the Blackhawks win it in 2016, that'll be four cups in 7 years.
It's so hard in Stanley Cup.
I understand, but that's what it takes. I understand the continued success and the excellence in the playoffs, five Western Conference finals in 7 years, but are they an NHL dynasty? Takes back-to-back cups.
I think it's so hard to repeat in professional sports today. I mean, how many times have we had repeats the last 15 years?
In hockey?
No, in all of sports. The Heat, the Patriots.
Patriots in 03-04.
And the Lakers. That's it.
Three in a row.
I mean, there haven't been a lot. So it's just so, so hard to win two in a row.
That about does it here on WGN Plus, part of the WGN Radio family for the Shoot Around podcast. This is our fourth episode. For anything you may have missed, WGNplus.com. Search for the Shoot Around. Another bang up job by you today, Kat. Thanks to Brett Jackson, Alan Poppy. Thanks to Adam Hoag, our Bears insider who hopped on. Anything I may have missed?
What a week. I mean, enjoy it. Everyone, we're going to post this tonight. This is Wednesday. You got the parade tomorrow. Extend it out the weekend. You know, if you're saying to yourself, oh, I'm not going to go out on Friday night or Saturday night, just remember that the Stanley Cup does not come every, you know, well, it feels like every year, but enjoy it. It's like, MJ Bulls, these are now the glory days, and in 15 years, you're going to look back and be like, man, that was something special.
I will be at the parade. Are you going or are you blogging?
I'm blogging. Unless I get the invite to be on one of the buses, I will be blogging.
You act like that would be a shocker. It certainly would.
It was mentioned last night. It was mentioned. So I'm not going to say rule it out, but I'm at the point now where I'm no longer asking for anything. If I'm invited, I'm going. If I'm not, okay.
He's at Barstool Big Cat on Twitter. I'm at SP Shoot. Make sure you stay tuned. We've got some surprises lined up for the next couple of weeks, some big-name guests, some current Chicago athletes. We're going to keep it locked and loaded here on the Shoot Around. We'll talk to you all next week.